What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 389, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that of course gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me as my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. I'm almost podcasted out. Like, I've done, we had our show last week,
right?
Which is great, which I think we'll talk about here in a minute.
Yeah.
I had a show I was on Friday night that went for like 3.5 hours. And then I was on one last night for about an hour, hour and a half. And then we got tonight. So like, that's four within a week. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot, man.
It's a lot of talking for me.
Yeah. You do talk a lot. So, you know.
No, sometimes.
But before we get into talking about last week, talking about Amazon, if you are an Amazon customer, if you go to Amazon right now, and if you go, let me bring it up here.
I'm there.
Yeah. If you go to Amazon, let's bring this up here. I already did it. So, but all you do is type in thank my driver, and the thing will say thank my driver, and you click on it. And it gives them $5, and it's at no cost to you. So if you want to say, like, you know, thanks to your driver, you can go ahead and do that. So I think it's a cool, I guess, like, it's only
thank a driver for deliveries made in the last 14. I haven't ordered anything in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. So if you have ordered something on Amazon, and I think it's today only, I think it's something that Amazon's doing just like for their drivers. So pretty cool thing.
This is starting December 12th.
Yeah.
And it's the first 2 million thank yous. So that's cool.
So like, if you want to give your drivers, you know, if your delivery made it okay, I'd say thank your driver. So and it gives them $5. And again, it's at no cost to you. So just go ahead and do it. It's a nice little kickback there for the driver. And my delivery today got here today with no issues. So I said thank you. Because sometimes you do have issues. It's come to a point where it's like, when I know something's coming, if it's like a newer driver, they always deliver it to the wrong building. Cause I'm in like a complex, you know? So it's like, they always deliver it to one of the different buildings, but you know, like DHL guys always, I like know the DHL guy. Cause it's like the same guy, and I know the UPS guy and he's the same guy, but the Amazon, it's all over the place.
Oh, so. Yeah, I'm sure.
But talking about last week, we had a great show last week. If you guys didn't check it out, you're definitely going to want to, because we had JJ from Asus on talking about all different kinds of products, you know, from motherboards to, you know, graphics cards to displays, like a lot of their new stuff that they have out or just came out. We talked about, he also did like a live overclocking demo and things like that. Cool. So, all things Asus last week, definitely check that episode out. I would suggest watching the video, so watch it on YouTube, but if you can't, again, it's on, you know, this podcast is on all of the podcasting platforms, so if you can only listen to the audio, definitely listen to that as well. But I would suggest watching it, because like I said, a lot of cool stuff that he was showing us. As always, guys, that you just saw on the screen, we do have our full show notes page. That's going to have everything that we're talking about this week. So if you do want to follow along, you can go ahead and do that. Not a ton of the stuff going on. We're kind of in that, like, we're waiting for CES leaks and announcements. And there's like a few things being announced, but there's not a ton going on. Obviously, last week, the big thing was GTA 6. And we talked about that. People were really upset with us because we were complaining about it not being on PC initially, and they said, you PC guys whine and all this stuff. That's what they were saying on social media to us. So
I saw some of that.
But hey, you know, it's gonna be 2025 when it comes out. You know, we'd like a not as long of a wait type thing, you know, for GTA 6, I think. But let's jump into reviews here. I took a look at a really nice and affordable case from Thermaltake. This is their Series 300 TG-ARGB, and it's a $99 case. And this is the smaller brother or smaller sister, however you want to call it, to the Series 500 that came out earlier this year. And even though this is smaller, typically we see like the big case, the middle case, and the small case. And typically, like, the big case will be like, EATX and ATX. And the middle case will probably be like micro ATX. And then the small case will be like, you know, mini ITX. But this case, even though it's smaller, can still support EATX motherboards, can still support long graphics cards and big CPU coolers as well. So they cut down the size, but they didn't really like skimp on like what you can actually fit in the case. Now, I have the white version here. It comes in both white and black, and like a green color. They're calling it like matcha green color. But yeah, it's a pretty solid case. It has the kind of like two compartment design thing going on. That's really common. I really like how they, on the front of the case, oops, why can't I close this? On the front of the case, they have this like all these openings for like airflow, obviously, but they just kind of made it a little bit different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, almost like a random pattern on the front. Yeah random instead pattern. Of it just being all like the same pattern mesh.
Yeah, and then behind there you do have RGB fans, which I'll show you, which are like they look pretty cool coming through here. But we saw the series 500 at CES last year, and I really liked it for what it was. It's an affordable case. You know, you have mesh filter on the front here. There's a mesh filter on the bottom of the case. You do get type C connectivity on the case, room for extra cooling as well. So it does come with three 140 millimeter fans, two in the front, which are right here. And then you have one on the back. The one on the back is not RGB, which was a little bit disappointing, but three fans out of the box. So like if, you know, you didn't want to do anything else, you would have adequate cooling, I would say. But the front of the case will support a 360 millimeter radiator. And then the top of the case will fit up to a 280. So if you were somebody who was like wanting to do an AIO, you could either move these front fans here to the top and put a 360 on the front, or you could put a 280 in the top. You know, if you were just wanted to do an AIO for your CPU, you could easily go ahead and do that. Building in this thing is really, really easy as well. I didn't have a single issue when it came to installation. Everything goes in quite well. You can see me going through the build here as far as like, you know, installing my motherboard. It does have it. This is one of the downsides of this. It only has room for two hard drives, which I'll get into in a second.
But two hard drives or two like 2.5 inch SSDs?
One 3.5 inch drive, two 2.5 inch SSDs. Okay. So okay. At the max, two hard drives or
two
SSDs. But again, getting everything in here, extremely, extremely easy. Ton of room you can see for a graphics card. And then at the end, you know, this is the backside of the case. They do provide these Velcro ties, which make it really easy to organize everything. I just threw everything else at the bottom. But this, when talking about these hard drives, like typically we see a hard drive cage down here, right? Yep. No hard drive cage down there. And like, there's like just room.
You could have put one there, yeah.
There's like room here. There's room here. If you go to the inside of the case, like, let's see, like there's room here for some mounts. So it was a bit disappointing to see that we only have room for two hard drives. And the thing that's kind of weird is that the Series 500 supported up to 8 hard drives. So you go down from 8 to 2.
Yeah.
Which, and again, I know like, especially if you're building a new system and like most people are doing like M.2s and a lot of new, especially like current generation motherboards, they're having 4 M.2s, which again, but people do, you know, and there are people that are like really big on storage. Like they're going to have that 3.5 inch drive and you can only put one in here.
Yep. So that's kind of stinks.
Yeah.
No way to mount one like on top of the power supply shroud or anything either.
Yeah. You can't put one here either.
Dang.
Yeah. So it was it's a little disappointing. They did send over, however, their LCD kit. This same LCD kit can be used on the Series 500 as well. And basically, it's a 3.9-inch LCD. Just installs like right here on the front of the case, which is pretty cool. Two screws, and then it plugs in internally via USB. Very easy to install. And that works with our software, which I will show you. First, let's get to the lighting. So again, those RGB fans, I mean, they do look really, really nice in this case, as you can see.
That pattern looks cool.
Yeah, pattern. Like I said, I was like, you don't think about it when you look at it, but once you turn the fans on, like this pattern in the case does look quite nice. Mm-hmm. And then you can see that there, and it does light up a little bit. But I would say, again, since we don't have RGB lighting on this rear fan, if you wanted to like really light up the inside, either RGB strip or get some more RGB fans for the top and maybe replace the back one if you really wanted to light up the inside. Here is the software for the LCD. And again, the LCD is extra. It doesn't come with the case. It's actually the same price as the case. So the LCD is $100. It's $99. So it's not cheap, but it works with our software. You can set it to do a bunch of different things. And then this is what it looks like, you know, basically it's mostly stats. So here's like CPU load, you know, RAM capacity. You can set a time. You can put your own movies on here. You can put GIFs. You can, stream a window. So like if I had this window open, it could stream onto the display. You could do a bunch of stuff with it. And like I said, it works fine. I'm not the biggest fan of the TT RGB Plus software. I think it's incredibly dated. I mean, if you just look at it, like
it could use a refresh.
And yeah. But basically I had it set in this carousel mode where it just goes through it. Like you can select all of these, but you can select however many of these you want, and then it will cycle through them. Which is nice. So I had mostly like stats and things like that on the actual case. But overall, like I feel that this is a nice addition to this. And we've seen a lot of cases that kind of add it, as you can see it right there. It's a nice little add-on, something you can see. And again, get it like if something's going on with your system, like you can see a visual indicator. Okay, my GPU is overheating. This is why I'm getting tearing in my game or whatever it may be. So that's a nice little add-on. Again, not part of the actual case itself. You have to buy it. But if you were going to look at this case, it is a nice little upgrade. On it, in our testing, the system did pretty well. During idle, it was one, extremely quiet, but two, the performance wasn't as good. But during load, it was pretty average in our test group, overall. So I like this case. I really like the series design for like being an affordable case. It comes with three fans, which is great. For a $100 case, two of them which are RGB. No, I didn't mention there is no RGB controller, so you have to daisy chain these together and then connect them to either your motherboard, or if you bought like an RGB controller, that's how you'd have to do it. And then all your controls will go through your motherboard's RGB software, or the software that comes with your controller. But you do get the three fans. I was really disappointed with
the third one wasn't RGB, or
that wasn't the biggest disappointment. The biggest disappointment was the storage.
I think we're gonna see that more and more going forward, is like less emphasis on 3.5-inch drives.
Yeah, but I think that you could have, there's room for more 2.5-inch drives on this.
Give the option to do more.
And again, like with the design of this case, the typical two compartment case, you know, that bottom compartment that houses your power supply, there is room for a cage there. And that cage can support both 3.5-inch and 2.5-inch drives. Even if it was a single cage, meaning like a single 3.5, and then you could put like two 2.5s, like one on the top, one on the bottom, you know, this case should at least support 4 hard drives. Like it just should. So that was a little bit of a disappointment. I gave it an 8 out of 10. Again, it's $99.99. I think that the black one is actually on sale. Let me check, because I was like looking at this today. So the white one, the black one's on sale for $79.99.
That looks good too. Like
yeah,
that color.
It does look.
It almost looks like it's got a bit of a gray to it. I'm sure it's black and just the picture is showing up.
Yeah.
Obviously that one like the highlight one piece in there is going to be gray, but
yeah. But yeah, I mean, good overall, you know, prices on these, like I said, at $79, it's a really good deal. But even at $99 for the white one, I still feel that it's like a good deal for what you're getting. So like I said, gave it an 8 out of 10. Like I said, downsides, only two hard drives. But for some people like me, like if it was my own personal rig, it wouldn't be a big deal because I run all NVMe storage. But for some people, it will be a big deal. And like I said, that rear fan, it would. And again, on the Series 500, all the fans are RGB. On this one, they took that rear fan and didn't give it RGB. So
yeah,
that's So that's what it is. But I, like I said, I do like the case. It's not like I don't. It's just if you read my review, I said they could have knocked it out of the park and they just didn't. So 8 out of 10. Uh-huh. But yeah, but Ryan, like I said, Ryan took a look at a really cool product. Something like I always seen. I'm like, oh man, could this like increase my productivity or could this make me better at kind of what I do? And it's mm-hmm. this product called the Torbox, and you have there's a couple different versions, I think. And yeah, you have the Neo version.
Correct. Yeah, there's the Neo and then there's the Elite, and for the most part they're nearly identical. The Elite has Bluetooth connectivity, right? Mm. So you can use it wirelessly. It also has some haptic feedback, which I think would be a nice feature to this. And I'll get into that a little bit, but like the knob in the middle does have some feel to it. And just like the scroll wheel here, it has a feel like similar to a mouse scroll. So there is like some haptic feedback, but it's not like motorized haptics, if that makes sense. You know how like phones, if you set up your keyboard to shake and everything. So yeah, this is a tool from Torbox designed to be a all-in-one like productivity enhancement tool for content creators, whether that's video editors, audio editors, Photoshop users, illustrators, you know, all sorts of like just creatives and interacting with the software in a physical way. So taking, you know, all of these inputs on the device and being able to either utilize presets that come with their Torbox console software or setting up custom layouts of your own, right? That's all available in this. So just to kind of show to you, it's pretty basic as far as what it comes with. It's just going to come with the Torbox, a USB Type-C cable with a little adapter, so it's going to plug up to your PC, either USB Type-C or Type-A. It does support Windows and Mac connectivity, so you can use it across platforms. No big deal there. It will work just fine on both platforms. But just going to give you a quick look at the kind of the top-down view of this unit. Now, I wish I had it with me, but I brought it to work to show a couple people and I left it there today, and I'm like kicking myself because I wanted to like have it in my hand. But yeah. Torbox has kind of designed the Neo with a couple sections in mind. They have their like rotating section, and I kind of talk about them each here. You've got your rotation, so you've got the scroll wheel, you have a knob, and then you have a dial. And so the scroll wheel works just like a scroll wheel on the mouse, and you can even click it in just like you can on most mice. Same thing with the knob. It twists there and can click in as well. And then the dial is just kind of a rotating wheel function there. And so the really cool thing about these and how I've used them is to like in video editing software, you can set the like scroll wheel or the dial to move back and forth on your timeline really quickly or slow yourself down and like go frame by frame. So, you know, and it knows how fast you're spinning it, or, you know, if you're moving it fast, it's going to like not exponentially, but like it will adjust. Like if you're spinning it fast, it's going to move you further. But if you slow down and just barely move it, it's going to start moving frame by frame. It's smart enough to know that that's the kind of control input you're giving it, and it's going to adjust its actions accordingly. So yeah, you've got the rotation section. You have what's called the Prime 4, which are just the big four buttons on there. And you can usually set those to like some of your most common settings. So you've got this flat button up top, two kind of thumb buttons. This is designed to be used with your left hand. You could put it on the right side if you wanted, but really in most cases, I think they've designed it so that you know, if you're a right-handed person, you're going to use the mouse in your right hand or your drawing tool, and then you're going to have this under your left hand and use it that way. There's nothing keeping you from using it with your right hand. It's just, I think that's kind of how they've designed it, is for left-handed folks or left-handed use. And then there's a side button on the side. And another cool thing about this is you can like combo these buttons. So you could like hold down one of these prime buttons and use one of the rotating buttons to get additional functionality out of those controls. So like by default, your knob might change brush size, but if you hold down one of these buttons and spin the knob, it could do something totally different, even unrelated to brush size, right? So you have just all of these options available to you, and multipliers like single click and double click of buttons can be configured to do different things as well. So you just like, it's so much to be able to customize here that I was a little bit overwhelmed with the amount of options available. And there's a way around that that I'll get to here in a second. There's also what they call the kit buttons. You have a D-pad here, and then these two custom buttons, C1 and C2 up at the top here. I did find these buttons to be a little small and a little close to each other, but I think it was only because I was positioning myself at first with this. I went into it thinking that I knew the placement of my hand and how it should be using it. And I was like, I didn't like it. And I think I even told you at first, I was like, yeah, I don't really know about this thing. I'm not really enjoying it. And then like, I realized if I hold my hand just a little different and position it better, it was like so much easier to use.
Yeah. Right
away. I was like, oh, okay. Like stop trying to force this tool to like work for me. I need to realize how to, you know, let it help me essentially. So
yeah,
once I started holding it correctly, like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Cause not- you had mentioned to me,
yeah,
that you didn't like it, and then we will get to what Ryan gave us, but I was like, oh, I'm kind of surprised you gave it this rating, because you initially told me you didn't like it. But it all comes down like a lot of products like this, again, it's like once you, it's like if you've ever, I don't know if this analogy makes sense, but if you've ever learned a skateboard and you're like trying to learn a trick and you can't get that motion down, and then somebody's like, no, put your foot like this or kick your foot like this, and then it's just like it just happens, and you're like, oh, I did a kickflip. Like, I feel like this is the same thing. It's like,
yeah,
once you just make that little adjustment, then it's just like, oh, this is seamless kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the more time you spend with this, you're obviously going to become more proficient with it. And then you start using those combinations of buttons and dials and things like that, and you'll become even more productive with this type of tool. But yeah, it's got a nice heft to it as well. It's a plastic body. The buttons are plastic. The body itself has that soft touch plastic feel to it. It's kind of rubbery, but it's not rubber, right? And then all the buttons are just like a hard plastic. Some of them are textured. And another cool thing about the button shapes, you probably noticed that they're all like not normal sized buttons. They're not all just like squares or circles or something.
Yeah.
Part of that is so that you know exactly what button you're touching. Because if this was just a pad with like 16 squares lined up in a grid, like you can become lost in it every now and then. So
yeah.
That was another nice thing about these buttons and the layout of the Neo. Like I said, USB Type-C connectivity. There's a couple rubber feet on the bottom to keep it in place, but it's got some good heft to it, which is nice as well. It doesn't feel like it's sliding around, and definitely a solid build quality. Setup super easy. It's just a USB device. Plug it in, let it do its thing, and then install the software for it. Plug it in, and you're pretty much set up and good to go. I really liked how intuitive the software was as well. Up in the top left, it has like some presets. Obviously, Adobe Photoshop's going to be in there. Lightroom's there. DaVinci Resolve, CapCut. And then you can create custom presets as well if your application isn't there. Another cool thing you can do is you can export your presets so you can share them with other people. And then Tourbox also has a whole library on their website of presets that people have made that you can just import in.
That's what I think that with products like this, and we see it with the Stream Deck and other things, mm-hmm. like I feel like they're dependent on what's available. Like they're dependent on presets that other people make a lot of the times, or if like
right.
if the company doesn't have, you know, just like seeing like CapCut in there, like that's kind of, you know, because that's, I mean, it's pretty popular with mobile yeah. editing, but like to have stuff like that, I think is so important, because again, like I feel like some of these products that come out, they die because there's mm-hmm. like people are lazy. You know, and they're not going to make their own presets for the most part. They want, okay, I have this piece of software that I use all the time. What's the preset? Give me the preset. And if the company doesn't have the preset, or there's not a community of people making presets, that's why I think the Stream Deck has been as popular as it is because, again, people are making things for it. And then just like this, like you said, like they have a full thing on their website, you know?
Yep. And I think that, you know, same thing with like Corsair keyboards and the lighting in the early days. Like it was so popular to just share lighting presets and yeah. profiles for your keyboard. So, yeah. And then in the bottom left corner, you've just got like a good layout of the unit, and it each button is labeled, so you know exactly which one you're talking about. So when you go to configure it on the right side, you know exactly which one you're configuring, and there's nice little like color indicators and exactly what they're doing, right? The knob, you turn it, or if you press it, and it's going to give you certain different actions. So really handy software, really easy to use and configure. And you mentioned CapCut earlier. That's the application that I used this with. I have been using an application called HitFilm Express for the longest time, for a couple years now, to edit all my videos. And I've like become all right with the software. I'm not like amazing with it, but it's become unsupported, and just there's some issues that I have with it every now and then. And I'm looking to move away from it, possibly to DaVinci Resolve. So I'm happy to see Resolve already has a preset in here. But the other day, a couple weeks ago, I was like, let me just see what this CapCut thing is all about. So I installed it, and that's what I did my review with, you know, this the Tourbox Neo with. And it was like so easy to pick up and intuitive. I was like, oh, this makes sense to like use the dial to move across, you know, the timeline, and just it made things so easy learning a new piece of software. I think that's also an advantage, is using this with a new piece of software, so you don't have to relearn like keyboard familiarity. Right. Yeah. If you've been using, you know, Photoshop for years and you know exactly what key does what on the keyboard, it might take you a bit to move over to the Tourbox Neo or Elite to get used to it. But I think they do have the opportunity to improve workflow, even for someone that's so used to using a keyboard. Like I mentioned, that it could be a little bit complex. Yeah, you can see here I was using CapCut, and what made it a lot easier to learn to use this piece of hardware with the software are these two on-screen menus that you can toggle on or off, which is really nice. But it shows you like the D-pad here. I can set my in and out points by default. I can split a clip. And then I've got the whole list of combos here on the other window as a reference. So I don't have to look down. I don't have to like open up the application itself. I can just look at this overlay right on top of the application.
That is really nice, because again, like especially as you're just learning it, like it just gives you a quick reference, so you don't have, again, you don't have to open the software up and then just messes up your whole workflow.
Exactly. And you can reposition these however you want, you know, move them to a whole different window, move them around. So that made it really easy to like pick up using this and learn a new software at the same time. And they're, you know, by default set up with just very common tools and options from each piece of software. So I think that's really handy as well. Yeah, I mean, I found this thing to be awesome. Like it was a joy to work with. And like I said, I'm ticked off that I left it at work, cause I was showing some people there, today. Cause I wanted to show it on camera, but yeah, you were surprised at the rating that I gave it, because I gave it a 10 out of 10. Like I had no like downsides to this. I think the only one was it takes time to be proficient, and that's just, I don't know if that's even a downside, right? Like there could be some adjustment time, right?
Yeah,
but I think once you pick it up, like, yeah, the software is intuitive, the layout is nice build quality. You've got 14 control surfaces, right, between the buttons and rotation inputs, and then you can just like combo those up to be like,
and one thing I think that's nice about it too is that it's not necessarily overly large either.
No.
So if you're like a professional editor and you start using this, you know, you can take it on set with you pretty easily. Mm-hmm. You can take it, you know, you can travel with it. It can go in a laptop bag. It, you know, that's what, because you do, there are like, even like DaVinci makes their own kind of console. Yeah. And yep. That thing is like big. Like, you know what I mean? This is kind of small, and you know, it will, like I said, you can travel with it very easily. So that's one thing I really like about it as well.
No, yeah. So like I said, I gave it a 10 out of 10. The Neo version that I have is available for $170, but I think it was actually on sale recently. So if you're looking to get something like that, no, it's never mind. It's no longer on sale. it was reduced for a little while, but yeah, 169 is a normal price for that. The Elite is a little more expensive with the wireless option and the haptic feedback, but definitely worth checking out if you're, you know, a creative that's looking to improve productivity, you know, maybe have been looking for something like this and hadn't seen this one. Definitely worth checking out.
Nice, very cool. I'm glad, like I said, I'm kind of surprised, and I'm glad that you
yeah, because like I said, at first it was like I was like, man, because I was trying to use the little two little round buttons up top, C1 and C2, for my in and out on clips, because I got so used to using I and O on the keyboard, and I was like, well, this is where they should be. And then once I like started using the D-pad with my thumb to do ins and outs and things like that, I was like, oh, okay.
I need to look at it, because I've never used
keyboards. I'll bring it to CES.
I've never used keyboards. I probably edit at least one video a day, if not more.
And you don't use the keyboard at all?
I don't use the keyboard at all. All mouse, man. All mouse.
Dang. Yeah.
I'm a guy. I'm pretty quick with edits. So like,
I was really only just using like in, out, and like space to like start and stop. But just like,
I do use space. I use space to play
the clip. You use the big button. Yeah.
Yeah. I use space to play the clip. But that's about it. So well, right. Yeah. Well, Ryan, like I said, CES is coming up in January. Yeah. Bring that with you. We'll see if I make use.
Yeah.
I won't
for sure.
I won't. Probably won't. Proficiently use it at CES.
No, but you can at least try it out.
Yeah. Also, real quick in the chat, we have my buddy Corey. Corey's here. He's been here like almost every week for a while now. He's been here a lot
recently.
And he just said he bought a new desk and everything. So that's pretty exciting.
Cool.
There as well. Our last review of the week is a NVMe SSD from Patriots, our Viper VP4300. And the cool thing, or not cool thing, but the interesting thing about this is that it is a DRAM-less NVMe SSD. So there's no cache chip. So most NVMe SSDs, you have the controller, you have the NAND, and then you have the cache chip. And the cache chip definitely helps with sustained writes a lot of the time. But this doesn't have a cache chip. And when you don't have a cache chip, that just means that they're trying to save money. And it's more of a kind of like an entry level drive, right? It's not going to be the most expensive drive. And with those type of drives, you kind of expect average performance. But I was really impressed with this drive here from Patriot. Now it uses the Maxiotek MAP1602C controller. And then we have 232 layer TLC NAND on it. No heat sink, but this does not get all that warm either. And because of the performance, which I'll show you, it is like rated to go in a PlayStation 5. So for those console users, you can go ahead and put this in a PlayStation 5 if you want. Now, it does have a sticker here, but the sticker is a thin heat spreader. So I guess technically it has some cooling on it, but it's not like a big heat sink or anything like that. Single-sided drive. We have the 2 terabyte here. You can get it up to 4 terabytes as well. So yeah, you know, just like, again, pretty simple drive. And then when it comes to, let's go to the average here. So as you can see, I mean, it's one of the fastest Gen 4 drives that we've tested, which is really impressive overall, you know. And again, when you test DRAM-less drives, like, they're usually like, you know, way down here, way towards the middle. But, you know, this drive overall was really, really good in its performance. I'll bring up the Crystal Disk Mark just to show you, because, again, I wasn't really necessarily expecting it to do well, just because you hear DRAM-less, and, again, you just think, like, entry-level 5,000 megabytes, or, yeah, 5,000 megabytes a second, kind of. And we've tested drives, Gen 4 drives, that are DRAM-less, and, again, they're very much like 5,000, 5,500 megabytes a second. But as you can see, I mean, you know, 7,132 megabytes a second read and 6,645 megabytes a second write. Now, again, not the fastest Gen 4 drives out there, but still very, very fast. Again, competing with some of the fastest drives, especially when it comes to the read. So for being a DRAM-less drive, that's incredibly impressive. And then on top of that, it's not that expensive. 2 terabyte, $100.
Yeah.
You know, but, so I gave it a 10 out of 10. I mean, there's really nothing wrong with this drive. It doesn't overheat. It's good performance. It doesn't have a DRAM chip, so it's cheaper. And again, it's even the sustained write isn't horrible. If we go to like our sustained,
it looked like it did drop off.
It does drop off a
couple levels. Yeah,
it does drop off, and it, you know, it does.
But I've seen drives worse than that.
Yeah, so we get to about 30%, and then it, you know, that you have the big drop off. But that, again, for a DRAM-less drive, not bad. I'd have to say, like I said, not bad at all. So, you know, and again, the price, $100 for 2 terabytes of Gen 4 storage with that type of speed.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so definitely check this out. I would highly recommend it if you're looking for a Gen 4 NVMe drive. This is going to be, unless you're doing sustained writes, which you wouldn't be looking at this drive anyways, this is going to be a really, really great drive for you. So definitely check that out. Move on to CaseMod Friday, and we have a build in the new PC011 Vision case from Lee and Lee. This one's done by Sneff, who we feature a bunch here. This is his new build in this case, and it just looks awesome. What do you think of this one?
Yep, looks. I love the, again, the distro plate that goes, yeah, in between there, and it's like between multiple components. So you've got it going from what, the bottom radiator to your GPU, out your GPU to your CPU, out the CPU, up to, yeah, right there, and then back to your one radiator. So it's like what it replaced, what, 3 tubes there with a single distro plate out of plexi. That looks awesome. The purple looks great. Yeah, it's,
everybody's using these, so clean. this heat killer.
It's water, I think, block. It's probably the best looking block right now out there.
Yeah, everybody's using that. Yeah,
very clean.
Yeah, super, super clean. And again, this case is really, really made to show off your system. So
is that top corner like frosted there?
Yeah, I think it's,
oh, because there's a little bit of
there's a little bit of to the top. Stability, yeah. Something there. So yeah, you get a little bit of frosting up there on it, but yeah, I mean, this is just clean, clean. Yeah. And I do like the color choice as well. The silver goes really well with the silver and white Asus motherboard, and then the white. And again, you have like silver accents throughout this thing. So yeah, I think it looks really good. Can't complain about that one as well. So yeah, definitely check this one out.
Nelson says hello from Florida.
Good to see you here, Nelson. Yeah, welcome.
Let's close. Yeah, that's one thing I'm excited to see about or see at CES is like the case mods, right? Or these builds that we get to see, because that's usually one of the favorite parts, is like seeing all the work that all these people have done, that we look at them on a week by week basis on the site.
Yeah,
and you can appreciate them in the pictures, but then when you get to see them in person and like look around them and like really appreciate it, it's so,
yeah, fun. Seeing all these builds in person, and a lot of times the builders are there too, so we get to chat with them and kind of see what's going on. So yeah, really, like I said, I really like that. But I always like, I'm probably like Sneff's number one fan, I'd say, because like anytime he has a new build, I'm like, oh, I gotta get that on the site. So I just like his style. I think him and Stuart are like two of my favorites. So
yeah,
but you know what? So like, you know, it's holiday season. It's like, and you're like, it'd be nice. I could, you know, get a new graphics card. It'd be kind of nice, you know? So, well, you can sign up for our giveaway. We're giving away an RTX 4070. Wow. So, almost up to 10,000 entries in this, 15 days left. So lots of time to get your entry in, but for all you guys on the podcast, we have a special code that gives you more entries. So again, you can only, like, once you put your email in, you can only get so many entries by doing things like 17 different ways. But once you put your email in, there's a thing that says secret code. The secret code for this week is TechPod. Let me make a thing for it really quick. All capitals.
It's like seven letters. Come on, man.
Yeah, but like just to make sure.
All right. Okay. So
Tech Pod is the right down there. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, look at that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right down there. That is the secret code this week, and that I believe it gives you two more entries into the contest. And next week we'll have another one. So again, just for you guys who watch or listen to the podcast, that is the secret code for this contest. I don't know if it's the first time we've given a graphics card away, but definitely
it's been a while.
It's been a while since we've given a graphics card away. So definitely excited to get that guy, you know, get that for you guys. So yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, super cool to have that giveaway. From there, we'll move on to news. And one of the more interesting stories, and kind of I necessarily wasn't expecting this. And again, this is not confirmed yet, but I like it at the end of the day. So NVIDIA, well, one, it was the 30th anniversary of Doom. So yeah, we're old. Yeah. First.
Yes.
So first, yeah. 30th anniversary of Doom. And with that, NVIDIA is giving a custom RTX 4090 with like a backplate that says Doom on it. Right.
Cool.
That's cool. You know, you could, if you, it's on NVIDIA's Twitter, I think it's, or X or whatever you want to call it. If you want to get your entry in for that graphics card, but on the page, on the prize pool page, it says RTX 4090 with custom GPU backplate, MSRP $1,389. And you're thinking, when has the RTX 4090 ever been $1,389 MSRP?
Right. Maybe someone had it used for that. Maybe. But yeah, never been the MSRP.
Yeah. The card launched for what, $1,699, right? $1,599?
I think it was $1,600, right?
Yeah, $1,600. So does this mean that, and this is NVIDIA's website, it's not like this is like some random contest. This is like you can, again, here's like, if we go to the NVIDIA, this is the NVIDIA website.
So all buying options.
Oh, wait.
$1,599.
They changed
it. Well, that says ARV. What is that, average retail value?
Oh, they changed it. We have the screenshot. They changed it.
That's funny.
Maybe, but anyways, so this is what it used to look
like. Well, that says MSRP. The other said ARV.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, so, maybe they got caught and this came out, and they don't want people to know that the price might be going down. What I was thinking about this was that we have the Supers coming out, right? I don't know what the sales of the 4090 are, but, you know, the economy is, like, not great. People are, you know, don't have a whole lot of extra spending money. So, you know, they could bring the prices of the entire line down a little bit, bring the Supers in at the previous price, right? So whatever an RTX 4080 costs, that's what the Super is going to cost now. Bring that line down and drop the 4090 down.
Yeah, it's possible. I guess we'll see. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be too much longer.
Yeah, that's what my thought is. Like, we'll get the price drop at CES or when the Supers are announced. Yeah. But again, this is such a specific price, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not like they're like copying and pasting this from, like, you know what I mean?
On like the 89, right? I could see 99 being a typo, right? Someone screws up and puts 1399, but the 89 is the weird part to me.
Yeah, so it's interesting, just to say the least. And it's interesting that they changed it. Well, so we'll see if there is going to be an RTX 4090 price drop. I would definitely like to see it. Because again, there are people that want like that highest end graphics card, but like, you know, still a lot of, like,
that's a lot of money.
$1,600 is a lot of money. So, but also talking about NVIDIA, they are going to be relaunching the 3050 with a 6 gig model instead of an 8-gig model. So they're going to phase out the 8-gig model. A lot of people are saying this is because the RTX 3050, people are still buying it, and it's eating into the sales of the 40 series. So they're going to cut it down to 6 gigabytes of VRAM, so that you don't get the 8, so people buy the new graphics card. You get a price cut on it.
I'm not surprised, right? Like,
yeah.
Shouldn't be surprising.
Yeah, so this new 6-gig model will completely phase out the 8-gig model, expected to be available in January. We assume we'll see this at CES. AMD will be launching the Ryzen 7 5700X 3D in Q1 of 2024. I assume, again, we should see it at CES.
I found that interesting. I don't know. It was surprising to me.
Yeah, I think that we're just in a lull with there's nothing to be excited about, right? The Supers are coming. Big deal. Like, it's not like we're getting the fastest card out there, right? Like, we're not getting a 4090 Super. So
something to be faster.
Something that's going to be faster. So these things are going to plug in. The X3D models, again, in all everything on Ryzen, it's all done till at least Computex, right? So we're not going to see anything on the Intel side. They're going to release their 65-watt versions of their CPU. So again, on the enthusiast side, we're not excited. So we're in this kind of lull with CPUs and GPUs. So this kind of makes sense, something for them to talk about. And again, if you're in that line for, you know, a Ryzen processor, you would have another choice when it comes to the X3D model. So
yeah, no, I think this will be a good slightly more budget option, right? I mean, the 5800X was on sale for they were so cheap a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So this, I can't imagine being the same price. It'll obviously be less. So this will be a really nice value pickup and still have very nice current performance, I think.
Yeah, for sure. So Nelson in the chat says 4090 will drop in price when the 5090 is released to the public.
I don't know, man. If we see that drop to the 1389 or whatever, that may be the lowest price even when the 5000 drops. They haven't been known to drop prices
recently. Makes you wonder what the price of the 50 series would be too. And again, if they're going to do the same thing where the 50 series kind of lives along with the
side by side for
a little. Yeah, because I mean that's what the 30 series is still selling. You know what I mean? You can still buy all those cards too. So talk about something really interesting. We've seen minis form with their mini PCs. They have some really high performance mini PCs that we've talked about multiple times on the podcast and of course on the website. And they have this really interesting motherboard type product that looks like this. And it's a mini ITX motherboard that has a hardwired Core i9-13900HS mobile processor and sort of like this pre-installed cooling system. A big fan goes on the top of this entire thing. This is for the M.2. And again, mini ITX, but basically it's like a laptop that you can install. It's like a laptop that you can put in a mini ITX case, essentially, for the most part. Well, without the graphics card, because you still have to put in the graphics card if you wanted to, if you weren't going to use the integrated graphics on the thing. But it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I like it. I think it's cool. Looks like it's got mounts there for a larger fan to go.
Yeah, larger fan
goes down, there, yeah. Right?
So that's what the cooling solution would look like.
Yeah, it's neat. I don't know. It's cool, but I'm not that excited about it, just because to me it's just it's obviously a custom motherboard, but what else are you getting? You still got to put it in a case.
Well, the thing is you're getting less out of this than if you were to do your own mini ITX build, right? Mini ITX build, you get a slottable CPU that you can upgrade or downgrade or put into a different system if you want to do something like this. The CPU is soldered on when it right. comes to memory, you're only limited to SODIMMs. You don't have like a full DDR5 slot. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what's so exciting about it then?
I guess if you wanted to build like a low power system, because this power envelope is going to be a lot smaller. The CPU power envelope, how this thing boosts and stuff like that. Because again, this is like a laptop platform. So it's not going to boost like, you know, like a desktop platform would.
Well, it's like, I don't see any SATA ports on the thing. I'm just...
There's two M.2s right here.
Yeah.
I don't...
It looks like there's a buy one slot on there as well.
Yeah, right here. That's for the Wi-Fi, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the look of it and the, you know, how they've designed the cooling and the heatsink and everything. I think that's cool. Aside from that,
Yeah. It's like a cool little thing that you could do, you know, if somebody didn't want to have to deal with like slotting the CPU and putting on a cooler and stuff, because this is pretty easy. It's just like you put it in, you know, and essentially you have to install the M.2s for storage, and you're like, your OS drive. But after that, if you want to use the integrated graphics, I mean, you have HDMI here.
Yep.
So
DisplayPort.
Yeah, and it has Thunderbolt or USB 4 on it. Like, you know.
Wait, are those both HDMI?
I think these are both HDMI. This one looks like DisplayPort.
That one looks like, I was going to say that.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to tell. That's DisplayPort. It just says HDMI. That's DisplayPort.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's interesting. It's cool. I like to see just like these different things kind of come out. So we'll see, you know, if Miniswarm sells any of these. They have a Ryzen version too. And again, it's not it's $559, which gives you your motherboard, your CPU all together.
And a heatsink.
And a heatsink. Yeah, and a cooling solution and everything like that. So somebody would design a box that this could go into or something like that. You know what I mean? Like a little case. Yeah, I'm sure
just a little bit taller and
get
an SFX power supply wedged in there.
Yeah. I guess this does have 24 pin, right there.
Yep.
Yeah. So you would need SFX or a smaller type power supply to power that, but yeah, pretty cool. This is something that I want. I was like, take the money, just take it. Cause you know, I have this 49 inch display here and it's great, but it's only, I believe this is only 120 Hertz, which, you know, these days, you want something a little faster.
Yeah.
You want something that looks a little bit nicer. So AOC, teamed up with Porsche Design to release a 240 Hertz, Aegon Pro OLED display.
Whew.
That just looks like it looks, let me go to the website so you can see this thing. It just looks awesome. This is the AOC Aegon Pro PD49 QD OLED 1800R curve. It just like a nice, I believe this is like all is metal.
Aluminum?
I could be wrong, but it just looks like it is. Like
it better be.
Yeah. Look at that.
Oh, yeah, it's nice. It does look good.
It's $2,350. It's expensive. But yeah, it does look quite nice. But you ever get rid of all your screens and go to like a super ultra wide or anything like that?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I'd consider it.
I don't think I could go back. I just don't. Like, I just don't think I could.
Yeah, I mean, my top screen like is only usually just for reference, right? I'm just looking up every now and then to look at something, and then like I'm focused back on the main monitor. Every now and then I'll have like a video playing up there if I want it just going, and I'm either somewhere else in the room, but I want to look over and watch it, or if I want it up there and I'm not paying attention. But like even like Sunday, I was watching the football game and working here, and I had the game over here. I didn't have it on my big screen, so maybe just like having a wide one would.
That's like just before I was watching the hockey game before we started the podcast, and it's like anytime like I'm working, I have, you know, like media or something playing over here, like a game or whatever, you know, over here, I'm working here. And then whatever I'm working on, say I'm writing a review, maybe I have the pictures over here so I can be
the website
doing that.
It's like having
3 24-inch monitors, basically, all side by side. And again, no bezel, like no bezels in the way, no space. That was the best thing about going to a 49. Corey in the chat said he's thinking about LG C342. What does that look like? Let's see.
I don't know.
LG C342.
Yep, 42 inch.
Let's see what that looks like.
You better leave that keyboard at home for CES.
Oh, you don't
That's
like
all I have to say.
that's a 42 inch. That's a smart TV, though. You don't want that. You want this.
Oh, it's a TV, not a
display. Yeah, that's a TV.
You're not showing it, so.
Oh, yeah, sorry. It's this one right here. So yeah, I think that new monitor from Porsche Design and AOC is awesome. But on top of that, I just think like this for productivity, that's why like the screen is so good. For productivity, it's like the wider screens are amazing. Okay. Now for gaming, for you guys who don't know, I don't game on the super ultra wide resolution. One, because my graphics card sounds like it's about to take off when that happens. But two, I do it in the middle. So I do like 1440p in the middle of the screen. That's how I game. So maybe if I was playing like WoW or some like open world game, I would do the whole screen. But
like racing,
or something like that. Like I said, that new monitor, we'll probably see that at CES as well. We'll probably see a lot of monitors at CES. So another pretty interesting thing is it's like Netflix is like trying to do game streaming. They've had a couple games and now they're making available the Grand Theft Auto trilogy. It's free on Netflix. So you can play, like if you have a Netflix account, I guess you can play these games. It starts December 14th. Yes. It starts tomorrow.
How do you interact with them?
I don't know. I guess I'll have to try it because I have Netflix.
It says downloading all will grant access to. So are you just pulling it down to your PC? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if you're pulling it down to your PC or like if you had say you're playing, you know, Netflix off a smart TV or a Fire TV stick or any of the, you know, things. Like if you had a controller, would that work? Like I don't know how it's gonna work. But it is free on Netflix, and you get Grand Theft Auto 3, the definitive edition, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, and Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, all for free.
Optimized down at the bottom it said optimized for mobile to enhance your game experience.
You can play these on mobile?
Yeah.
Is it mobile only?
I don't know.
Wait, I'm seeing this ad. There's a Twisted Metal,
yeah.
TV show?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Interesting.
You remember that game back in the day?
I loved that game. That was such a fun game actually.
Driving around
with
the ice cream truck and
yeah, that was a good game. But yeah, pretty cool. I get we'll talk about it next week cuz I'll try it tomorrow and we'll see if you can do it like can you play it on a TV or maybe you can play it on the TV and your phone is the controller?
So I'm on the page and it says, you know, this trilogy, the definitive edition, adds to a growing catalog of more than 80 mobile games.
Maybe it's just mobile then.
From Netflix members on the App Store, Google Play, and Netflix mobile app.
We'll try it tomorrow. But yeah, pretty cool, I guess. I mean, it's free, so you can't complain about it, right? Just like all the games.
I mean, you can, but
you know. Oh, yeah. But it is free. Talk about gaming. Kind of sad story here. E3.
End of an era.
It's done. So the Electronic Software Association, or ESA, they put out this statement on their official Twitter or X account. It says, after more than two decades of E3, Each one bigger than the last. It's time to say goodbye. Thanks for the memories. So no more E3. I think for most people listening, you would know what E3 was. But if you don't, E3 was like where all the game developers would announce new games, where almost all the new consoles that come out in the past 20 years were announced at E3 for the most part. So many really big moments happened at E3, and it was just like, and again, you would like, I remember being young, you know, in high school, and like, you knew it was like E3 week, and like, you would watch it on TV.
G4. You'd watch it on had like a booth all week. Yep.
Yeah. And you would watch all the stuff it was just like really exciting. If you were into games, it was just such a cool thing. Yep. And to see it go is kind of sad. Now, one, I think that a lot of the companies, especially when like the bigger companies started to pull out, this is before the pandemic happened, a lot of the bigger companies kind of pulled out of the event and were having their own events. They were having their own kind of thing where they can control it, and it would probably cost them less money.
Yep.
To put on. So that was a big thing. And then obviously the pandemic happened, and then there was no events, and then they did online only. And then the last 2 years it was canceled. And after the 2023 event was canceled, a lot of people were saying it's over, and that's kind of what it is. Like I said, I think it's sad. I don't know. It's just something that like I always grew up with, sort of, and it's just sad to see it go. It does make sense in a way that it's gone. And I think with how we're like an online, more on, especially because of the pandemic, yep, like we're a more online society. There's, you know, people can just tune in and
you can reach a wider audience. Like, you've got the internet, like you said, like they can control every aspect of it. It can be pre-recorded. There's nobody screwing up.
Well, there's no reason for a big company to go to E3 when they can get just as much eyes on whatever they need on their own events, and they don't have to pay ESA anything or set up this massive booth or anything. They rent out a stage somewhere and pre-record it, probably, like it's pre-recorded, so that they're not messing anything up. It's I don't know. I feel weird about it. I'm not happy about it, and I'm mad that
you didn't ever go, did you?
Yeah, but I'm mad that I never did go. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's the thing too. Is like, yeah. But talking about this, we do usually save it towards the end of the podcast, but the question of the week is around E3 because it's over. Do you remember any specific E3 moment where you were like watching, or you were like, holy shit, like this is amazing?
No, because I don't know. I never cared like or paid that much attention to E3 announcements. And a lot of them, most of them are just like console announcements anyways, right? So, and like they said, they've had more than two decades. So when was the first, let's see here, first E3? Oh my gosh, if I could type correctly. Let's see here, first E3 convention, 1995. Okay, so I was almost in high school. At that point, I had a Genesis, was like my newest console at the time. PlayStation was probably out or had just come out recently. And like, I had a PlayStation through high school, but then like I moved on to computers, and so I didn't really ever care. I was never their demographic to care about E3. So no.
Gotcha. Mine was Halo 2.
I knew you were gonna say Halo or something.
Yeah, Halo 2, the announcement, everything. And like the cool thing about the Halo 2 announcement, and again, I haven't really watched E3 the past probably like 4 or 5 years, but the cool thing is, you know, especially like that was like 2000, it was early 2000s for Halo 2, and there's like a live audience, and they were showing like the live demo of Halo 2 for the first time, and like people in the audience were like screaming, and like when something happened, it was like, it was just like a really cool, you know, vibe. Like you don't get that because again, everything's online, everything's pre-recorded now, so there's no like screaming audience. It's like when they like first announced the iPhone, like he's, you know, when he's like going over it and people in the crowd are like screaming, they're like, oh my god, this is so cool. Like it was like the same kind of feeling, but for obviously a video game. And you, and again, it's something that like, you know, our kids will like never really understand, like never get to get to see anymore. So yeah, I'm sad to see it go. There's other events. There's like the Game Awards, and then there's some other
Gamescom.
Gamescom is, I don't know if it's necessarily huge games, but yeah, there's like the Japanese game something, and there's a couple other ones that are pretty big, but E3 was the biggest one. So to see it go is kind of, you know, but we'll see if something comes and replaces it. We'll see if somebody maybe buys it, like, you know, buys the IP and redoes it. We've seen that happen before too. So
sure.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, sad to see that go. That is the news for the week. Talking about what we have coming up next week, I'm taking a look at, I like to say it like this. I'm taking a look at a big ass CPU cooler. This thing's huge. This is the Deepcool Assassin 4. I have both the white and black version, but I have to say the white, look at it, it just looks like a big box.
It is very large. You like looking at it like that, you're like, well, where's the fan, right? It could be any of these sections.
Yeah, the fan's in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you can see the fan there. And the fit and finish on this is really, really nice as well. I haven't tested it yet, so I'll be doing that over the weekend. But yeah, really excited to take a look at this. And just to let you guys know, if you guys are into air cooling, I have probably beyond Noctuid, which they haven't had a new cooler, I have all of the best air coolers into review right now. So like we'll be doing them back to back to back. And there is one launching in January. I can't necessarily tell you about, but it's really cool as well. So there's lots of cool air cooling stuff coming, but I'll have this for you guys next week. Also taking a look at a really cool wireless microphone system. So for all you creators out there who are creating content, this one's from Hollyland. This is their Lark Max. It's basically beyond their like high-end studio stuff. This is like their highest end wireless microphone system. So much with this that like you can use it like 800 feet away from the receiver. Like you can record on the actual microphones themselves. You can mix into obviously whatever you're recording on. This works on Android, Apple cameras. You can connect it to your computer. So if we're doing the podcast here and I wanted to walk away, I could connect this to my computer. You can connect it to your computer via USB, or you can connect it via 3.5 millimeter, and then I could walk away and still be talking to you guys. I mean, there's so much that this does.
I can't remember if these were, is this new or pretty new?
Very new.
Or has it? Okay. Because I don't think this was available when I bought my Lark.
No.
Like C1. Yeah, because this thing is just awesome. It's got every feature that I wanted.
Basically, this is like every feature that you wanted, because there's the DJI ones. There's, who else makes one? There's somebody else who makes
the Rode.
There's Rode and DJI, and then there's Hollyland. They're all kind of competing. They all kind of like ripped each other off as far as like
different. I liked the 8 gigs of built-in memory on each of them. Like,
yeah, so that you can awesome. Do built-in recording. And again, it has the charging case, which is nice. It has this screen right here is it's OLED. It's touch screen. You can control everything all like that. Check out the review next week. It's pretty awesome product overall. So
nice.
Definitely stay tuned for that as well. And then Ryan is going to have a pretty interesting article. I don't know if you want to tell everybody about it.
Yeah. So a couple of weeks ago, probably a month ago now, I took a look at the Silverstone CS382 like NAS slash server case. And I'm just kind of writing the article about my use case for that case, right? I wanted to consolidate a bunch of older systems into one system with more horsepower, more flexibility, and consolidation. That's kind of how my I've justified it, and I've broken down the article as like I had like three main goals: consolidation, flexibility, and enhanced performance. So nice. Taking three machines that were had different tasks, you know, server-wise, whether it was Plex server, Minecraft server, and bringing them all together into one box that had more power, more flexibility, and more options moving forward. So, yeah.
Nice. Excited to see what that's all about for sure. In the chat, we have Oscar, and he says, by any chance, would you know what to do if overclocking isn't supported with my CPU? Well, one, what CPU is it? And two, if it's not supported, you can't do it.
Yeah,
there's not much you can really do. Again, it all depends on your CPU. If you tell us what your CPU is, we could possibly help you there. But a lot of times you're locked. I mean, that's you're kind stuck. You can't do anything. There have been points where, like, in the past, motherboard manufacturers have opened up certain overclocking features. But again, it's all system dependent. And again, depending on what CPU you have, but typically if overclocking isn't supported on your CPU, you really can't do any type of overclocking. But that is it for the week. We are now, going.
One thing I will say is like on a chip that maybe doesn't support overclocking in the terms of like manual, you know, making adjustments with software or your BIOS, it may benefit you to have better cooling for your CPU so that it can boost to the temperatures that it's advertised to, right? Like some chips will boost higher outside of what we consider overclocking, right? And in order for them to do that well, you need to have good cooling. So that's like an option to make sure you're getting the most performance out of your chip if it's not one that can't overclock.
So that you explained it perfectly.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Well, we will be doing some gaming here. So we will do that over on Twitch. Ryan, of course, runs that stream, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Ryan? Or you know, anything else?
No, I mean, we're like getting ready for CES. Like, the year's winding down. Like, Christmas is coming up. Got to make sure, you know, if you are looking for like tech purchases or looking for stuff on Amazon, like we said at the beginning of the show, be sure to use our link, thinkcomputers.org/Amazon. That way, you know, helps us keep the show up and going. We get a little kickback from any purchases you make across there, you know, in the immediate future. It doesn't cost you anything, and it helps us keep the show going and everything. So that's always helpful. I know we've got some like parts lists and stuff out there, I think, but yeah, that's it.
All right. Yeah. Like Ryan said, yeah. End of the year, getting ready for CES, trying to finish out our reviews for the year as well. So
yeah,
typically when it comes to CES, I try to get all of my reviews done so when I get back from CS I can rest and relax. But we do have one product that I have now that's launching at CES. It's a case, which again I can't tell you much about, but it's pretty cool. Cool. And then I have another
you have a cooler, you said?
A CPU cooler that launches the week after, but I'll have it done before I leave for CS because I'm not
when you get back, you don't want to write that.
Yeah, I don't want to write. So we have that. And there's there's just a lot going on right now. But we have so much stuff going on with the site. Ryan and I are also going to be working on our favorite products of the year that we've reviewed. That's always good to look through if you're looking for some really cool products. We'll have that for you guys soon too as well. And so many other things going on as well. Like there's just so much stuff. But just check, like I said, just keep up to date on the website. Keep up to date on social media. Mostly we're active on a lot now. Like we're active a lot on TikTok now. Everybody yells at us on TikTok. So, but there on, I'm still going to call it Twitter, but X, we're all over there as well. So, just follow us to stay up to tune with everything that we have going on. Lots of stuff going on. New contest coming in January as well after the graphics card contest. So just stay tuned for everything. And we will see everybody next week.